Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. As a child, Joanna Brooks often felt like a root beer amongst the Coca-Colas, an outsider because of her LDS faith. Still, she embraced the faith with gusto until she went to college. She matured and began to struggle with some of the religion's tenets. Faith became more complicated. Brooks explains the everyday experience of being Mormon in a new memoir. And today on the program, she joins us to share her journey from innocence to exile to faith on her own terms. Joanna Brooks joins me in studio. Joanna, great to see you. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you.
Joanna Brooks will be speaking about her new book, The Book of Mormon Girl, A Memoir of American Faith. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Weller Bookworks, 607 Trolley Square here in Salt Lake City. But we invite you to join us if you've got questions or comments about Joanna's work, about her particular journey. You can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Joanna, you're a professor. You're an academic. You are a professor at San Diego State University. Did you ever think that you'd be talking about your life and your faith on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart?
You know, it's true. It's been quite a ride, and it all owes to Mitt Romney and this Mormon moment. But, you know, as a literature professor, I grew up as a Mormon girl loving books, loving to read. I was taught from the time I was young that it mattered, learning, studying the scriptures, and I became just a giant reader. And as a literature professor, I studied memoirs from every conceivable American culture, African-American culture, American Indian culture. But when I'd go to the bookstore on the Mormon shelf, there were so few stories about how it actually felt to grow up an ordinary Mormon girl, you know, our lives and their complexities, the funny and tender aspects of our faith, and the real challenges Mormons face. So that's what I tried to do with this book.
In your memoir, you do describe yourself as a root beer among the Cokes. I mean, how did that otherness, you know, that distinction shape your faith and your interactions with other kids?
And I had a different experience than maybe a lot of your listeners who are LDS, because I grew up in Southern California. And I grew up with a really robust Mormon community. I grew up in a very observant Mormon household. But we were a very small minority. And so I was always the only Mormon kid in my class at school. You know, you'd enter the room and look around for who are the other Mormons, you know. And that sense of difference conveyed a great sense of responsibility to me. I felt really responsible to be an example of my faith. And it's shaped my life since then, too. I still feel a responsibility to tell my part of the Mormon story, to share the beauty and the human side of the faith with an audience.
In the book, you write that you grew up idolizing Donnie and Marie Osmond, especially Marie. And you have trotted into the studio Marie Osmond's book on personal health care.
Yes, it's the Marie Osmond Guide to Beauty, Health, and Style. I got it when I was about 12 years old. Marie was my role model because, you know what? She was an ambitious, spunky, dark-haired Mormon girl with a television studio of her own. Irresistible.
But I mean, how did that role model change you in any way? Did it?
I mean, well, I write in the book, you know, it's one of the most comedic chapters in the book, and one that everyone, you know, so many women from different backgrounds have told me they can identify with, because here I am as a 12-year-old Mormon girl trying to figure out how to attain this mystery of womanhood, how to get there and be like my idol Marie, who is, you know, shown in pictures in the guide at BYU, surrounded by cute guys with perfect outfits, and so studying the pages, and I'm 12, and I don't have a penny to my name. I don't even have access to, like, the department store to buy the clothes she's talking about. I have nothing. So trying to figure out how to be this perfect example of womanhood, that's not only a Mormon story, that's a very human story about growing up.
Speaking with Joanna Brooks, she's an award-winning scholar of religion and American culture, the author or editor of 5 books. She's been featured on NPR, CNN, the BBC, other places. Her writings appeared in the Washington Post, among other spots. And she's also an associate professor and chair of the Department of English and Comparative Literature at San Diego State University. Her new memoir is titled The Book of Mormon Girl, and she'll be speaking about that book tonight, August 23rd, at 7 o'clock at Weller Bookworks at Trolley Square. More details at kcpw.org. It's interesting that the questions about your faith really did sprout at that liberal bastion, Brigham Young University.
People don't know the place is lousy with Democrats. Quietly.
I mean, what were some of the religious tenets that really started to spawn some questions in your mind, kind of break your childhood innocent faith?
You know, in the book I talk about, you know, I attended BYU. I came in 89. And by the time I was a sophomore, the Gulf War was happening. And so, you know, as a sort of idealistic college student reading at BYU great books of world literature, world religion, you know, I began to think of the world as a more complicated place. And I remember thinking, maybe I'm kind of anti-war, you know, kind of normal for a 20-year-old to sort of experiment after grew up in such a conservative background. And I pinned a little peace sign button to my backpack, and I recount walking along the icy sidewalks to campus and someone driving by in a passing car and yelling the word Antichrist at me, you know, for being sort of maybe anti-war. And so, you know, at BYU, I found both the richness of our faith. There is, as you know, Laurel Ulrich was talking about just in the segment for this one, a tradition of Mormon progressivism. And there's also a rigid conservatism. And I found both right there in the heart of the culture at BYU.
Well, you did find some arguments with the church in its orthodoxy. You spent some time, as you call it, in exile from the church. And you say that you wore your faith under your clothing. What do you mean by that?
Well, there were, you know, in Mormon history, there have been difficult years for progressive Mormon women and men. And, you know, when I was 21, there were excommunications of several prominent feminists and intellectuals, and that really impacted me. I hung on. I kept going to church. I kept trying. But after a while, I found that I would just sort of cry every time I went to church, feeling unsure if there was a place for me in a faith that I cared about very deeply. So I sort of pulled into myself and took a few years and didn't go to church and never stopped feeling entirely Mormon. Still felt it to my bones, to my core. That's a story I hear from Mormon, from all kinds of Mormon people. Gay, straight, all over the political map. It's something we carry very close to us, no matter if we have disagreements or questions or not.
But why didn't you just reject that part of your identity, that Mormon part?
Drill it out of my bones.
Yeah, I mean, so many people who are disaffected with the church can walk away.
It's true.
Will walk away. Why did you cling to that, even in your absence of regular church attendance?
You know, it felt still like home to me. It was so deeply formative of me from the time I was a child, my faith. And I'd had really powerful and positive spiritual experiences within the context of Mormonism. And I couldn't walk away from those, even if I had to wrestle to come to terms with my own way of living with my faith and my conscience intact. So I held on. I held on. And I hear that story from so many people. It doesn't have to be just a Mormon story. People raised Christian, people raised Jewish. You know, how do you make sense of a faith tradition that teaches you wonderful things, but that also has hard parts as well?
You eventually married outside of the faith, a nice Jewish boy.
It's true.
What does he make of your struggle with your faith tradition? I mean, does he struggle with his own faith in this in a similar way?
See, Jewish people, they've been at this for thousands of years. And they're like, okay, there will be some disagreements. It's sort of a Jewish way of life, you know. One thing I've learned from being in my husband's world of religion, he's a Reformed Jew, which is a very progressive sort of American, you know, variant of Judaism, you know, is that arguments are okay in a community. Arguments can be a sign of respect for a tradition. Questions are powerful, sometimes even more powerful than you know, stable answers. And I've seen in Judaism the ability for people to find different places on an orthodoxy spectrum and still have love and respect for a faith tradition that gives their meanings comfort and structure and hope. So those have been fantastic lessons that my husband's faith has brought into my own life. Plus, he's cute and has a good sense of humor, which helps.
You're raising your daughters as both Mormon and Jewish. Seems a little complicated. How's it going?
It is always complicated raising kids, isn't it? We are an interfaith family. And most interfaith families are counseled or have in recent times to choose one. And that just didn't feel possible for us. He loves his Judaism. I love my Mormonism. We both may be unorthodox, but we both have felt an obligation to give our children an education in both faith traditions, and then to expect them to make adult choices like all children have to grow up and make adult choices about the faith. It's complicated. It's complicated, but we're hopeful.
One painful episode that you describe in your book was the LDS Church's support for California's Prop 8, which defined marriage as between a man and a woman. You actively opposed this proposition, whereas church members, particularly in your hometown and in California, were strongly pushed to support it, both ideologically and financially. How are you thinking about social issues within the church today?
You know, I think this is a really powerful moment for rank-and-file Mormon people. You know, there have always been gay Mormons. There have always been gay Mormons. We've always had gay children in our families, gay cousins, gay relatives, gay spouses. And, you know, finally, there is a degree of growing openness in the way we talk about gay issues. And, you know, for the wonderful example of the church-attending Mormons who participated in the Pride Parade this year, I think shows a willingness to think about that message of love that should be core to faith and how to implement that in our congregations, in our families, around gay issues, just so that there's more space for understanding, more space for compassion and reconciliation, a little less circling the wagons and raising the swords, and a little more listening and sorting things out together. And that gives me a lot of hope.
I want to put a similar question that I put to Dr. Ulrich about this Mormon moment. I mean, the Mitt Romney thing,
right,
the polygamy thing, the Book of Mormon musical. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, it's quite a time. I loved Laurel's perspective that this isn't the first Mormon moment. Oh, no. There is an endless curiosity. I think it's fed as well by the 24-hour digital media cycle where we have there's this constant demand for content. The media needs things to talk about all the time. And few things are more interesting and curious than this homegrown American faith that drives such loyalty from its members. So we are in the spin cycle. And the outsider curiosity, I think, has started some conversations within the faith that may eventually lead us to being a bit more open about our beliefs and about our practices. That would be a good thing.
Just got about a minute left, but why did you tell this story? I mean, why a memoir?
You know, I chose to tell this story in the hopes that by putting my own story, my own very human, very imperfect story out there, would create space for other Mormons to tell their stories as well. Oftentimes we feel ashamed in Mormon culture to tell stories that aren't orthodox, that aren't perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. This is just a story about how it really feels, tender, funny, sad, being a Mormon girl. And I hope that through this book, non-Mormons will come to see us as human as well.
Are you a real Mormon?
What does that mean?
I want to ask you.
A real Mormon? I belong to the church. I attend church. I observe the rules. So yeah, I feel like a real Mormon. But you know, isn't it funny? Mormons always ask each other that question. Oh, Mormon. Are you really a Mormon? Jews don't say that to each other.
Joanna Brooks, award-winning scholar of religion and American culture, the author of 5 books, including her latest memoir, The Book of Mormon Girl. Joanna Brooks will be reading from her book tonight, August 23rd at 7 o'clock at Weller Bookworks in Trolley Square in Salt Lake City. And Joanna Brooks, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. And coming up tomorrow, it's Politics Up Close with Jeff Robinson. Representative Jim Matheson will be on the program, so tune in for that tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.